All right, everyone. We're glad you're here. We're certainly glad you're here. And we know God loves you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He wants to work in and through you. What a privilege when we can grapple with that truth, that understanding that Almighty, Sovereign God, Creator of the universe, the one to be worshiped, obeyed, the one to cast our cares to, the one to follow, the one to trust in, the one to just surrender to. He loves us. He has a plan and purpose for us, and that he wants to work in and through us. It's just kind of one of those testimonies, Jason, that I love to think about and dwell on and consider and weigh, because it's just awesome. It makes life worth living, even when you're going through struggles and heartache and disappointment, or you're on the top of that mountain peak and you're just rejoicing, you're worshiping, you're learning about prayer, you're surrendering more fully or more completely to God's will and plan for your life, that we have that privilege of not only being disciples of the Lord Jesus, but then being his ambassadors to a hurting world. And we can be his hands, his mindset, his caring touch to assist and to just work out his will. And his will is to draw us all to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, when we surrender to him and understand the great love that he's extended to us, we can't help but really have a decent day.
Right.
Can I get a testimony?
Can I get an amen?
Hey, I want to open up this program with a couple verses I read just this morning. And I know you, Jason, you love Leviticus. You love the Older Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, what many Christians refer to as the Old Testament. But I always like to be careful when we say the Old, because for some people, and even a number of my Jewish friends, when they hear the Christians say Old, they're sometimes perceiving or hearing obsolete, unnecessary, right, outdated,
exactly,
not the new, the current, the scriptures that Jesus talked about. Mm-hmm. Yet we know better, and the old is not meaning old and obsolete, but just the older testament. But in Deuteronomy this morning, this very morning, I think I have a verse for everyone. It's one that I think I might have to commit to memory, but it's in chapter 32, and it begins with, "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock," capital R, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. "He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he." Ah, you could just think about that and revel in that. And I know the last few days when we shared our conversation with John MacArthur, and he talked about praying scripture back to God and worshiping God. And that time of prayer isn't just to say, "God, this is my litany of things that I need, and answer this prayer and work in this way." Oftentimes prayer can be that time of just worshiping him, surrendering to him. And here's a perfect passage that if you need a portion of scripture to go to and to think about God being our rock, our God who is just, who is perfect, who works his ways, who is faithful, who does no wrong, he's upright. I mean, man, how could you not start worshiping just by reading that?
Yeah, it is. It's a powerful verse. And just in terms of that prayer, I mean, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I mean, you could even just take this verse here and just stop at each line and do two things. Number one, do what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that passage that we use when we take the Lord's Supper all the time. Paul says in that, as we take the Lord's Supper, to examine ourselves. And Paul doesn't mean in terms of that we just examine ourselves at the Lord's table, but Paul is saying at the Lord's table, you ought to be sure. And he's speaking back to what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus says, hey, when you go to the altar, if you have something against your brother, make sure you go back and you find your brother and you square that up first. Leave your good offering at the altar. Go find your brother and reconcile him before you offer this to God. And in terms of that, I think about how we need to often self-examine ourselves. Take a moment to step back. It reminds me, a few days ago, I went to a conference with a young man that I discipled. He came from Peoria. We went and we attended it at Meadowbrook Community Church. On the way there, we were talking about his relationship with his girlfriend, and they're trying to live a good Christian relationship, but they're bumping up. I mean, Satan is in it all the time, just trying to derail him. And he said, you know, "I just think we really just need to devote our lives to God. We really need to do this. You know, we need to do more prayer. We need to do more reading of scripture. We need to do more of these things." And I said, "Matt," I said, "you're attempting to be more holy than it's humanly possible." I said, "Only God is perfect and holy." I said, Matt, you're going to Bible college. Do you study the scripture and do you prepare for your class as well? Oh, yeah, I'm in my Bible all the time. Do you discuss those things that you're learning with your girlfriend? I do. I said, well, then you're making a pleasing offering to God. I said, but you're trying to be more holy than God is even asking you to be. I said, so Matt, you know what? You need to self-examine yourself. Examine, look in the inside. And I wonder about that in terms, and I'm just thinking off the cuff here, in terms of verse 3 where it says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Well, maybe some of us want to take a step back and self-examine our hearts. Look at our hearts. Look at the way we're proclaiming the name of the Lord. Look at why we're proclaiming the name of the Lord. Do some of us proclaim the name of the Lord because we think we've put a quarter in the Bless Me vending machine? Or are we proclaiming the Lord because there's no other reason but to proclaim the Lord? I was listening to a sermon the other night. Generally, the night before, I'll iron a shirt. And when I iron a shirt, I'll find some sermons. And we went to this conference, like I said the other day, and it was on preaching. And they had sent a link to a sermon through the Master's College. And if anybody can find this on the internet, it's thousands of sermons by some of the greatest speakers out there, greatest voices preaching the gospel, really powerful. So I found one that I liked, and I go, well, I'm going to listen to this while I iron a shirt, because I generally listen to something. And in it, this pastor told a story about recently his mother's grandmother had passed away. And I forget what her name was, we'll just say Grandma Rose. But Grandma Rose, he said that whenever you would talk to her, she would say, well, Grandma Rose, how are you doing today? I'm doing good. I'm with Jesus. And he said she wasn't without sin, but her heart was always about being with Jesus. He said so much so they went to a play one time. He said their whole family got together, extended family and everything, and they went to this big play. He said, you know, they took up two rows in this auditorium. And he said that he sat next to Grandma Rose because every time he got a chance to do anything, he would sit next to her. Because he just wanted to glean some of the knowledge, what it meant to follow Jesus for 80 years and to be all about Jesus. And he said in the middle of the show, they had a break. It was like a play. And he said, how are you enjoying the play, Grandma Rose? And she said, oh, I'm not enjoying it. and he said, well, why? And she said, well, because if Jesus was to come back right now, I'd rather be on my knees praying or witnessing than be watching this play. And he goes, I couldn't believe that somebody actually was worried about that. That somebody actually had 80 years ago had such a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ that was what they were worried about. He said, I'm sure she on some level was enjoying the show, but she was thinking about Jesus. And so not only was she saying, maybe I could have been sharing Jesus right now, but I want to say this. In that seat while she was watching the show, she was probably proclaiming the name of the Lord in her heart just by the simple fact that she was examining and saying, you know, is this where I want Jesus to find me when he comes back? And so it was really powerful for me.
I think of two things. One, that praying without ceasing, that mindset to have. I mean, that doesn't mean night and day. You don't go to work. You don't do anything. You're praying. You're on your knees and so forth. But you have that spirit, that mindset, that concept of praying or wanting to pray or being connected with the Lord. But I also wonder, Jason, maybe you have some thoughts on this, but men can tend to be so compartmentalized oftentimes, even with the wiring of their brain, that sometimes it's harder for them to connect in that way, where women, they flow, their brains are kind of just very relational, so they can be kind of connected with Jesus maybe, I don't want to say more often than men, but it's more natural maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, women are they emote, so women tend to be ones where you see it, you feel it, you know it, you touch it. As men, we don't understand it. And men tend to, I think that men still proclaim the Lord the same or in the same way with the same fervor that, but I think that it's inside. You know, I mean, that's kind of that quiet humility, I think, that we've talked about before, that strength that you don't really, it's not really out there, but it's inside the heart. And I just, in terms of this, I mean, I just would challenge everybody, you know, and this is almost what John was saying. Not only to pray the scripture, but now you're in the scripture. So allow the scripture to not only be a tool for you to pray through, a voice for you to hear, but now allow it to be the self-revelation of the word of God in and through you. I mean, here to say, I'm going to proclaim the name of God. Before I do that, though, I want to really check my heart and see where I'm at. I want to make sure that as I proclaim the name of the Lord, it's because I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, and might. And then the next one, oh, praise the greatness of our God. You know, there are some of us who, if I said, is God great? They'd go, well, you know what? Today's pretty good. And I go, wait a second. This is the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, today my universe doesn't look so good. You know, and I mean, can you then say, I'm going to praise him because he is the great God, the greatness of God.
Yeah, their God might be that little g, or they might put God in a box and not recognize the majesty, the omnipotence, that nothing, absolutely nothing can happen outside of his permissive will. And he's to be worshipped. He's awesome. He's created all things out of nothing. So sometimes we got to recalibrate, not put our image of God according to how we view him. He's grander and greater and beyond our wildest dreams.
Yeah, I would agree. And then the next one, I mean, by doing the first two, I've self-examined, and because I am self-examined, I can look at the way that I proclaim the name of the Lord, and I can say with all my heart, soul, and might that he is great. And guess what? The gift of being able to do those first two things, I think, is then that he becomes your rock. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden you go, because I've done those two things, I have firm ground to stand on. You know, though the waters come and they might rush up against me, I will not be moved. The Lord is my rock.
And that rock, Jesus references himself, you know, at that Caesarea Philippi, upon this rock I'll build my church. And it's one of those concepts where, wow, that's right there in the Old Testament. And at least the NIV version here, we're talking about Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, the rock has a capital R. So I wonder how that original language, and I want to also point out for our listeners, Jason, you just got here into the studio, and so you had no idea what I was going to talk about or what would be the verse that I wanted to share this morning. So not that we're just ad-libbing, but this is the wonderful nature of holy, inspired scripture. You can kind of read it. You can share it with a friend. You can get inspired. You can get encouraged. As I was praying in bed this morning and having my devotional time, I was just thanking God for his word and the fact that he's allowed my mind to comprehend, to understand, to sense a personal spoken word from him through the scriptures. And I kissed my Bible and I just kind of hugged it. I held on to it. And I was thinking about Super Bowl this past Sunday, how all those guys are kissing the trophy They're kissing it. They're kissing it. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, all those gerbs. But, you know, they're excited about that trophy and the victory and the win. And yet here I was kissing my Bible thinking, God, I just so value your word. Mm-hmm. I so love the scriptures. I love how you can read it and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it, to interpret it, to take life lessons out of it. And today, you know, I'm just reading through Deuteronomy and I'm thinking, this is like the best verse. Thank you, God, for this verse that I know will bless people today. And I know you're getting blessed as you're just reading through it.
Yeah.
And we're sharing what John MacArthur the last few days talked about, finding scriptures, many times the Psalms, and just reading them back to God, personalizing it, making it a love letter, a time of worship to Almighty God.
Yeah, and the next verse, or the next at least part, you know, you do those first two, and then the gift is that God is our rock. And it's not a gift like, oh, thank you, God, you get to be my rock. It just naturally occurs. God becomes your rock because you're proclaiming his name and you're acknowledging his greatness. You're doing James chapter 4, 7 and 8, submit then to the Lord and the enemy will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then it says this, I like this. It says, his works are perfect and all his ways are just.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's from God's perspective, not from ours. There are things that come into our lives that we don't understand. We don't understand. We can't see the bigger picture. I mean, I don't know how many times I sat down with people when they're struggling with something, and then you'll talk to them a year later or 9 months down the road, and they'll say, man, I didn't even see how that was going to work out, or I didn't even see that one coming. I didn't even see that impossible situation had so many possibilities, but it just didn't reveal itself till a certain point. And all God's ways are perfect, and all God's ways are just. And what God is doing, God is for you. God is working for you. There's a great passage that I love, and it's Romans chapter 8:31, and it says, if God is for us, then who's against us? And I don't know how many times I've been somewhere, and it's been like a Christian war call, you know, like a battle cry. If God is for us, then who's against us? And I always get it ties my stomach in a little bit of a knot, because then I go, it doesn't have an exclamation point. It has a question mark. It's not an exclamation. It's if God is for us, truism, And we studied this in Philippians last week, that if there's an if in the scripture, the if, often you replace the if with the word since. That's it's called a present future participle. And a lot of people go, huh? All that means is that if you see an if in there, it was like the Greeks would say, if you are my friend, which was like saying, you are my friend, so then you'll do this for me. So when you see that if God is for us, you want to take that if out. Since God is for us, who's against us? All of you out there, take your finger, make a little pointy finger, turn it towards yourself, and point at yourself. If you got a mirror there, get up and look at the mirror. That's what that piece of scripture means, is God is for you. So who's the one who's tripping you up? You, and me, and Mark. Mark trips me up a lot more, though. I just want to let you know that.
In a biblical Christian kind of way.
How could I take your derailment and I could tie it to scripture so well? Yes. I want people to understand that, because sometimes they want to put it on God. Well, God must not be for me because my life isn't working out perfect right now. Well, once again, step back, self-examine. What are the ways that maybe you're tripping up what God is? What ways is God having to work overtime? He's punching the clock nonstop going, man, I have got to fix the mess here. Because scripture tells us over and over again, his works are perfect and his ways are just. And by the way, there's a psalm, and I'm not sure exactly what the psalm, what the number is, but it says, the Lord in heaven does whatever he pleases. So there are some things about God we don't know, we can't grasp, we don't understand, and we have to stand upon the rock, which is, he's always for us.
And another verse in Deuteronomy, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And we're talking about, oftentimes, maybe we're struggling through something, but that's just a sliver of time. And
right.
The example of those friends that a year or two later, I never would have imagined how God worked it through. Sometimes the crisis we're going through right now, a week, a month, a year from now, you'll say, hey, how did that thing turn out? Like, what thing? We've already forgotten it,
right?
Because God brought healing or hope or change or circumstances in such a way that it became like a nothing. And God primarily wants to refine our character, draw us to himself, and then to model Christ. So sometimes those circumstances, those situations, those heartaches can be used to further kingdom purposes in other people's lives. So God hasn't abandoned you. He loves you. He cares for you. There's that verse, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And there's great hope in knowing that a sovereign God that can do all things, that created you, has a plan and purpose for your life, and he'll bring about change as you surrender and submit to him. Oh, well, Jason, you know, here I just throw out a verse and you walk into the studio and we got 3/4 of our whole program. For those of you that maybe missed the last few days, Monday and Tuesday, we had author, preacher, conference speaker, John MacArthur on the morning program. We basically taped a conversation with him. We aired it in 2 parts. So you can go to greatnewsradio.org and click on our archive programs link and hear that. Jason, here we're talking about Deuteronomy and great scriptures and worshiping and honoring God and praising him. And we would hope and we would pray that as you spend some time in scripture, as you draw closer to God Almighty, that you will have an appreciation for his word. You'll allow it to speak to you. And then you'll find unique and creative ways to pray back to God. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of all of our lives. And if you're going through a time right now where you're struggling or you just don't feel that love, spend some time in the scripture. Spend some time in his presence. Just ask him to reveal himself. Ask him to reach out to you. He does care for you. He does love you. And I would pray maybe through the programming today, he will speak a personal message into your life. Maybe you're going to hear a scripture that applies to your circumstance or situation. Maybe you'll hear the topic discussed on Midday Connection or on another program that it's just what you needed to hear, or some affirmation through a crisis you're going through. And you're going to say, wow, God, thanks for revealing that. Or maybe God's going to bring somebody into your path that's going to speak truth into your heart. Or maybe you're going to be that person today to assist somebody else through their situation.
Oh, listening friend, be those hands and feet and voice of God to bring help and hope and healing and comfort to those God brings across your path. Begin this day, or close it out if you're hearing the re-airing, with the prayers that God will orchestrate circumstances so that just the right person or people cross your paths and you can be his ambassador, that faithful disciple of Jesus. Oh, what an exciting life we get to live as we walk in cadence with the Spirit's leading. Well, listening friend, I want to alert you to two upcoming gatherings in Springfield. One is happening this Saturday at the WLUJ Studios, 600 West Mason Street in Springfield, as we're celebrating the life of Howard Fox. He was the chief engineer there the last 10 or so years. Actually, he worked for the WLUJ family of stations for 36 plus years, and he also assisted Great News Media. Well, he went home to be with the Lord a little over a month ago on March 10th, and so his wife Mary said because he was such an integral part of the WLUJ family of stations for 36 plus years, she thought it'd be nice to have a gathering at the studios to celebrate his life and share some stories. And so Holly's going to make some chicken salad croissants. We'll have some refreshments. And we'll basically gather between 2 and 4 p.m. So come anytime. It's like an open house. Have an encouraging word or story for Mary as we remember Howard Fox, May 16th of 1957, to his home going on March 10th. Of this year. If you need more information, you can call the station at 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. It's a special celebration of life for Howard Fox at the WLUJ Studios, 600 West Mason Street in Springfield. Come anytime between 2 and 4 p.m. Also, ladies, 2 weeks from yesterday, so the first Tuesday in May, May 7th, we're gathering for our First Lady Ministry Luncheon. Our special speaker is L.T. Doss of Love Deliverance Evangelical Church of Springfield, married to the beloved Cece Doss. She's going to bring a message on the power of prayer. So if you're a pastor's wife, a woman pastor, or a woman in ministry leadership, this free lunch will begin at noon and go till 1:30 p.m. and we'll gather at the Salvation Army Community Center, 1600 East Clear Lake Avenue in Springfield. You must RSVP by calling 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300, or stop by wluj.org. That's wluj.org, and click on I'm a Pastor's Wife, What's Your Superpower? And you can register there. All right, listening friend, go out today and be that ambassador for God, that faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and make a difference in your world as you go, wherever you go, sharing that good news message of Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.